Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. A trusted source for the news. 7 night for Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7 night for Hallis in your ears, you. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Happy Dr. King Day. It is January 20th, 2025. It is your boy, Scott and Flows, and we are here for an emergency episode of the pod, episode 265, to announce that Ben Johnson will be the Chicago Bears' next head coach, man. It is Scott and Flows. It was y'all. Y'all can follow us at Barber Chair. Scott, F-Flows and Delaney at Barber Chair Network, and at 79th and Hallis, man. This is going to be a random episode. We have no rundown. Obviously, this news just came in 30 minutes ago. Joe, hit me with your initial feeling. How you feeling right now?
Oh, I feel great. I mean, I think that's a pretty easy feeling to convey. I'm happy. It was the correct choice for the first time in what feels like forever. The Bears made the correct choice. It was the everything pick. It was the correct choice, the sexy pick. The future pick, it's everything. And you've seen enough of Ben Johnson these past few years to know that the dude knows what he's doing on offense. And I mean, if they have a better quarterback, the Lions are still going or on to the next round. That's the legitimate truth. If they have a stud at that quarterback position, they're going to keep going on. But the fact that he is able to make so much out of that Lions offense and get them as far as they can while not having a star at QB is nuts. So right now, I'm feeling what I felt, albeit on a higher level, when the Bears got Brandon Marshall. If you've been a Bears fan for a long time, you remember what it was like to be like, oh, we got a receiver. It's like happy day. It felt like everything. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Scott. Did they get Jay Cutler for a year or two and then had Brandon Marshall? Or was
they
it
had Jay Cutler 3 years before they had Brandon
right.
Marshall.
So Jay Cutler was this decision where you got a semblance of a quarterback. Jay Cutler is the first true quarterback in Bears history. Jay Cutler throws like 27, 28 interceptions the first year, but he's still better than what you see. He throws the ball. He doesn't care. Now you're like, all right, he needs an actual receiver. In comes multiple-time Pro Bowler Brandon Johnson. I feel that sigh of relief. That's what I feel now. Albeit that if this was a scale of 1 to 10, that Brandon Marshall was here, which was high at the time. Ben Johnson is up here. I mean, the dude utilizes the run. The dude utilizes the pass. This is the perfect pick. Now, I want to stress, Bears fans, do not give in to that Bears anxiety and that Bears depression and that Bears nihilism where nothing matters because it's all going to mess up in the end. No. Embrace this moment. Be happy. This is what it's all about. This is what football is about. You struggle. Then you get to the promised land. This is a great feeling. Yeah, I'm sorry, Order, to tell you Ohio State's not losing to Notre Dame.
If you listen to the audio version of this, Rolando put in the chat, Bears get Ben Johnson, Ohio State losing dramatic fashion late at night. This is what heroin must feel like.
Unfortunately, we're about to smoke Notre Dame. And I said the same thing all of these rounds. I was like, we're going to smoke Tennessee. We're going to smoke Oregon. And we're going to smoke Texas. And we smoked all of them. We're not losing to a team that ain't playing nobody. And lost
okay,
to
fuck,
NIU.
Fuck Ohio State. Let's get to the real thing we got to talk about. Gustavo is right. Caleb probably doesn't even believe the text he's getting right now. Exactly. After being trolled last week, I know he had to actually wait to see it. But this is what I just want to say, man. First of all, I'm with you. Bears fans, embrace being happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it does not happen a lot. The Bears actually got it right, which never happens. The Bears never get the sexy pick. They never get the big pick. And look, I expect it to work out. If it don't work out, it don't work out. But this is like drafting Caleb last year. If Caleb doesn't become the franchise-altering quarterback that we hope he becomes, we live with that. Why? Because they swung and took a chance. I still get sometimes I look at Patrick Mahomes' play, and I still get a little bit of PTSD. That's because they didn't take a chance. They took a chance here. They didn't go the usual Bears route. to go get Mike McCarthy, even though, like I said, I still don't think that would have been a bad hiring, and I'm not going to change my opinion on that just because we landed the big fish. But this is what you needed to happen. The number one guy out there for the last two years, he was very picky about where he was going to go. And this also, too, just puts a jolt into the fan base, which has been, let's just be real about it, been pissed off and down and out, rightfully so, with everything that's been going on. But it finally feels like Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren and George McCaskey are all the same page, and that's all Bears fans wanted, man. And for the first time, maybe, in sports history, airplane tracking was actually accurate. Remember last year, last winter, they were tracking Shohei Ohtani's plane, said he was landing in Toronto, when that nigga was still in LA,
right?
It just went on the other side of the 405. That's all it was. This was accurate. I'm excited. And also, two things. Joe, what did I say for almost 2 weeks? I don't buy the Raiders hype.
Right. Right.
I just never bought it. And then Jordan Schultz said, when the report came out, he was never highly considered. He just took an interview with him. Everybody saying Raiders. I was like, it sounds like BS to me because it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
Doesn't make sense. And then I forgot my man's name. I think it's John Johnson. I don't want to mess his name up. From Fox Sports, he said this morning that momentum was heading towards the Bears. And this is after he said yesterday that momentum was heading towards the Raiders. So that's when I knew it was for real. But then when Josina tweeted it, and I know Josina gets a lot of shit on Twitter for whatever reason, but she'd be pretty accurate. Then I was like, oh, this is really going to happen. And I just started really feel confident about it. And I was in the group chat. I'm not going to hold you today because I was taking a day off for the holiday. And there was a lot of stuff going on, inauguration, 3 NBA games, and, of course, national championships. So I just didn't want to do the show. But we were talking about it in the group chat, and I think Courtney put us on the group chat about Stafford possibly retiring. And I said, this is a Ben Johnson-only news chat. And then Mikey tweeted in all caps, Ben, and then shout out my guy Tolson. He texted me the actual report, and I told Joe, let's record now. So, so much news coming out. We don't know exactly what the contract details will be and all that, but we do know Ben Johnson's been putting together his staff for the last couple of days. And right now, the favorite to be defensive coordinator is Dennis Allen from the New Orleans Saints. That's a good pickup for a defensive coordinator right there. Of course, we know whoever the offensive coordinator be is not going to be calling the plays. It's Ben Johnson. But what does this signal to you, Joe? Because everybody was saying about, Ryan Poles isn't going to get it right. You know, he's not the best guy. With everything been said about his job these last couple months and to land the big fish, how does this feel? What do you think this does for him and for the perception of him is what I mean?
Oh, I mean, it does a lot of things. I mean, I'm one, shout out Betsy, I'm a person that it matters who you bring in. The coaches, I think, are probably the most important thing. I know some people will probably say, oh, man, it's the players. It's the coaches. Who was it on the Bulls that said executives win titles? Was that Jerry Krause?
Jerry Krause, yeah.
When Jerry Krause said, I know people were like, oh, up in arms. It's not so much true for basketball, but it is for football.
I think it's half right with all sports.
Yeah, I think football is the one where it is so hard to outplay bad coaching. It is incredibly hard to outplay bad coaching. Basketball, other sports, is a little different, but football is so hard. And so right now, this signals that Ryan Poles understood the gravity of the situation that he's in, understood the mistakes that he made, and he's willing to amend them and do better. And again, I am a person who has been on Ryan Poles' heels for quite some time. But what I have, the constant thing I had within our discussions on it was, there's a good GM in there because I've seen the moves he make. The trade with the Panthers, still a great trade. Even if Bryce Young turns out to be great, that's still a franchise-defining trade. You get your number one receiver and you get your quarterback. And if remember, there's cause and effect and everything, causality. That becomes a binding effect that then weaves a line towards Ben Johnson. So there's always been a good GM. Now, this isn't me letting him off the hook. He still has to prove to me because, remember, I wanted him to be fired. But right now, this shows me he understands the gravity. They realized, oh, we're not a small market team. You know what I'm saying? We're not like the Carolina Panthers. We are the Chicago Bears. We are a storied franchise. We have some of, I think we have the most Hall of Famers, second most Hall of Famers.
Yeah, the most Hall of Famers.
Most Hall of Famers. When you think of football and the history of football, there are so many Bears players that come into your mind, from the Sweetness, from the Mike Ditkas, from the George Hollises, the Gale Sayers. There are so many that come to mind. This is a storied franchise. And shout out, this is Caleb, you can pick up the phone, shorty. Hilarious. And so this is a big step for Ryan Poles. Now he needs to work on that line.
Yes.
But this is beautiful. Now, of course, then you got to look at Dennis Allen. I'm down with that as defensive coordinator. This is perfect. Now, what comes into play now for Ben Johnson is, can he lead men? You know, it's always a leader of men. That's typically last on my list of what a coach can do. I'm more so how do
Caleb said that too. Caleb said that on the Amara podcast. He wants a leader of men as well.
I get it, but you're also adults. You're adult millionaires. I'm more importantly someone who could put things together. But again, it's happy, man. It's a great feeling.
It's a great feeling, and I, like you said, there's a good GM in there somewhere. I wanted to fire too. I'm not changing my opinion on stuff just because they landed the big fish. Like I said, I'm not going to be like, oh, all that stuff was said about Mike McCarthy? Never mind. No, I still believe in what I said in that. But this is what I wanted. And even though they lost this past weekend, I'm not blaming him for J-Mo throwing it to East Lansing. I'm not blaming him for that. I'm not blaming him for Jared Goff throwing it to the other team four times. I just love the play call, man. But like you said, Joe, like Shane said in the chat, job's not done. Now you got to go to free agency. Spend money on whatever holes you got to spend money. And the draft, hit on the draft picks. Because it doesn't matter if you take Bill Walsh out the grave and make him coach. If you don't have an offensive line, you're not able to run anything. So we all know Ben Johnson has been very specific about what he was going to go. We saw last year where he turned down the Commanders. He said, look, y'all got NBA people running y'all stuff. This is exact words. He wasn't concerned. He wasn't really with it. So this, you know, he's going to have a game plan. Ryan Poles has a game plan. Now it's time to execute that game plan. Getting the coach was only step one, and now we have to continue it and go forward with that, man. But I just think this is a massive jolt to the fan base. We won't know how this is going to play out for another 8 months, 9 months, 10 months, honestly. We might not know till December, because remember, last year the team started 4-2. I'm going to wait till you can actually see on the field. But for right now, January, this is where you get excited and just take all the time of being panicky and stuff like that and just breathe. You got an opportunity to just breathe here. So I want Bears fans to do that, man. Joe, what do you think this says for Kevin Warren? Because they said he was a big factor in the hiring process. Bobby in the chat said bunk suit might be more than a glorified politician. How does this look good for him, his first official hiring, getting a coach?
Oh, I mean, this looks great. I told you, I'm a person who probably had more faith in Kevin Warren because I thought Kevin Warren had a really solid career before he came here. But now the fact that his first big major swing in his position is to take the most coveted offensive coordinator in the league, that is freaking big. You can't see the excitement of my dog, but my dog is really happy. He's really happy for what Kevin Warren is doing right now. And I think this is major. This is major for him. It makes him seem, because the thing is, sports is about appearances. What are you doing? What are you doing now? What have you done for me lately? And what do you do when the pressure's on you and you need to get it done? And they got it done by hiring the most qualified person out there. And I like the fact that poor dog. I like the fact that he got it done, man. It looks good on him, man. No doubt.
Yeah, I think this is a big feather in his cap because we all know that he has ambitions of being the next, commissioner of the NFL. And you don't want to mess up the charter franchise even more than it's already messed up. So I definitely think this is a good thing. And now, because we've always said we don't know who Kevin Warren is. I call him TED Talk Kevo because he said the same shit at every press conference. He sounded like somebody actually on a TED Talk. And this just shows us that, hey, whatever reported news about Poles and Kevin Warren not being on the same page, that proves that they're on the same page here. Or that he said, you know what, Ryan, I have faith in you, and I'm going to let you pick who you want to pick. And also, I got to give George some love for that. You know why? He got out the way and let the football people take care of football things. You know what I'm saying? And that's a major thing. And this is a good one. Yeah. And your weekend Detroit. I know it's a lot of Detroit fans who are mad at me this weekend for laughing at them losing to the Washington Commanders and saying stuff like, oh, well, Ben Johnson's never going to return your call. Oh, how's that feel now, nigga? Y'all lost in the first round and y'all lost both of your coordinators. It sounds like Aaron Glenn is going to be going to the Jets. That they're going to be their next general manager is going to be somebody who's working in the Lions front office. And you know what I'm saying? And back to the project. Actually, I don't know back to project. Y'all got a good roster, but this is a major blow. This is a major blow right here, man. And this is, hey, I can't even really put how excited I am right now. I can take a breath. You got your coach. You got your quarterback. Alignment. You know what I'm saying? And now we wait and see what's going to be the offensive, you know, well, it's not the offensive, but like the free agent and the draft strategy. Now, Joe, you said, or like years ago, I remember years ago when they first, when they got rid of, I don't know if it was this, when they got rid of Nagy and Pace, and you asked him about having more black people in offices.
So that was right before, yeah, so it is, right before they hired Poles and Eberflus. And my question was about the diversity and the age. Shout out my dog, Sote. Good to see you, Sote. I was showing about the diversity and the age of the Bears. And his whole I have to give him a little bit of credit because it's a lot of niggas up in Hollins Hall. It's one of the most diverse organizations I've been a part of. Now, that's not to say the job's done or it's perfect, but I go in there and I see diversity, whether that being not even just black folks, women. I see more women in the Bears organization. And that is just a positive sign. And so for some people, it's not important. But I just want you to look at the world that you live in. The world that you live in is not just one racial group, one gender. It's tons. It is tons. And so it's good that you have a organization that represents that. And now it trickles down to the coaching. Now you're getting someone who is a young playmaker, I mean, who is a young signal caller, who knows what they're doing and who has done it on a high level. And I'll give George that credit. I will absolutely give George that credit. That was a really smart move to do. And now it's time to get it done. That's just really it's no more talking. Now it's like, oh, that's cool. It's time to get it done. It's no more the hypotheticals, what they can and can't do. All you all ain't going to get him. No, now it's time to put it in the, it's time to put into play.
Yeah. I just got a text from my guy, Chuck English, one half of the cool kids. He's been on our show talking about the Lions last couple weeks. And I told him.
Who the cool kids are, bro. That was my high school.
Yeah. Man. Shout out to
I'm
Chuck, man.
I'm cooler than that guy, man.
Shout out to Chuck. That's my homie. He's always friend of the program. He's always on the show. We've been having this debate for the last couple months. He said that we weren't going to get Ben Johnson. He's like, y'all can have him. He blew it on set. I'm like, no, nigga, Goff blew that. You know what I'm saying? But let's talk about Ben Johnson's background, Joe. You know what I'm saying? And you know, his coaching journey from being somebody who really wasn't talked about that much when he was in Miami with the time, when he was with Dan Campbell, to becoming a hot target last year, being even hotter this year, to now having his head coach. What did you think about, you know, his journey getting up to the ranks?
I think he pretty much follows the prototypical coordinator to coach pipeline. He's only been coaching since 2009. Okay. And I'll say only. That's a long time.
That's a long time. Okay,
so exactly. I say he's only. You know what it is? Is that I don't realize how old I am.
Bro, in our head, 2009 sounds like last week.
Right. And so I say it's only been 2009, and in reality, is that's actually a very
like, think
long
like
time.
2000. The year 2000 feels like 10 years ago in my head, but it was almost 30 years ago.
Right. So, looking at what he has done, I mean, this is a kid when he was in high school. Kid, this is a man. Because, and the funny part is, what is this crazy? We're getting older. He's only a couple years older than you. You're 36. He's 38. And we're talking about youth. Yeah. This is youth. But he came into the game playing quarterback. That is what he did. He was a quarterback in high school when he was in North Carolina. And then he went to North Carolina as a walk-on. He was the reserve for T.J. Yates. If you've been following the game for a long time, then you should remember T.J. Yates. T.J. Yates was in college around the time Troy Smith, one of the greatest Ohio State quarterbacks of all time, was playing. And so he goes from there. After that, he gets into coaching with Boston College. Then he goes Boston College for about 2 years, and then he's straight up to the NFL. And he's been offensive assistant, quarterbacks coach, tight ends coach, wide receivers coach, quality control, passing game, to finally offensive coordinator. So he has had a long journey. And I think about this, from his first year as a graduate assistant in Boston College to his actual first year coaching in 2011, he did not become an actual offensive coordinator until 11 years after that. So he has had a long journey, soaking up the game, understanding it, being around people and being around offenses that are moving. And this is literally the prototypical way somebody becomes offensive coordinator. And then this is what happens when you're offensive coordinator in the league. When you're good enough, you're going to get snatched up quick. You don't stay around long. Back in the day, the greatest defensive coordinators typically left quickly. Now defensive coordinators tend to stay along a lot longer than others. But now, since he's been there only for those 2 years, they have produced one of the most incredible offenses around. And it got so good that he became a commodity, and it's time for him to get hired, stay that extra year. And so perfect background for him. He's looking good. I just think this is one of the most incredible days for Bears fans. But now it's time for the pedal to the metal. It's time for all of the situations and hypotheticals to go out the window. Now it's time to see the work. So me and Scott getting in the offseason. And you know, the funny part is this draft becomes so much more consequential. 100%. I want to know this has been Johnson's first draft as a head coach. This is Ryan Poles' fourth draft as a GM. How is Ryan Poles going to make up for the mistakes he made? How is Ben Johnson going to fulfill his role as a head coach? It becomes a lot more consequential. And now when me and Scott are in Hallis Hall during the summer and we're watching OTAs, mini camp, training camp, we're just going to be looking like, okay, what is he doing in this situation? Yeah. How does he handle it? What's his message to the team? When he gets up to the interview booth in the PNC Center, the Midway Center, what's he going to be saying to us? And we're going to have these individual conversations with him. And I'm looking forward to it, dude. I'm excited. I cannot act like I'm not excited. I am super excited.
Is it Marina? How you pronounce her name? Show us the doggy.
That's Mara. That's my homegirl. You can see him in the background. Shout out my dog Sote.
And keep Keenan Allen. I'm pretty sure.
I agree.
I think Keenan Allen wants to stay now. I mean, I think he wanted to before, but I think that let's talk about the impact, because the number one guy here who. We've said this, Ryan Poles has said this. It's Caleb Williams. Mr. Caleb Williams had a so-so rookie season. I thought it was decent. But a lot of things that he needs to get developed, and the things that we just saw this year. I'll say it right now. I think that Matt Eberflus was the worst coach in Bears history. I'm sorry. At least in modern Bears history. At least Trestman won, 9 games 1 year? Well, they got it down to that final game where they could have won the NFC North. At least they had a high-ranking offense this first year. Everything was bad, from schemes, everything like that. I think that you're really going to see, finally, the difference between a well-coached team and a poorly coached team. I've always said I don't think that roster is as bad as it looked this offseason, this season. I really don't. They need to be put in the best positions to succeed, and I think he's going to do that. The potential for Caleb Williams now is what I'm excited about, because he can finally reach that with the schemes and the way that Ben Johnson draws up plays. And we also know he's not timid with this play calling either. And I think that we're really going to see Caleb take that next leap. You're going to see Caleb. They're going to work on Caleb's accuracy with the deep ball. The number one successful thing in football is the medium catch, make sure you're doing these small catches, 5, 6, 7 yards, mastering that before you get to the home run balls. And I think Ben Johnson's going to fix that. Get something out of Cole Kmet. They didn't use Gerald Everett at all last year. And I always said he was a good end zone threat with the Chargers. Maybe he uses that. You're going to see DeAndre Swift. Are they going to draft another running back, maybe in the later rounds, to pair up with him so they can do the two back thing? There's different ways this can go. What do you think about what he's going to bring to the already the players already on the rosters at the moment?
The biggest thing for him will be utilization. I never, like you just said, I never thought this was as bad. I never thought this was as bad of a team as, you know, our record showed. Is their record show? It always seemed like, nah, this is there's a little bit more. When you got three number one receivers, you got two solid running backs. DeAndre Swift can be a lot better, even though it's unfortunate that every time DeAndre Swift leaves a team, they get a running back who performs better. But you got enough there that it should not have been as bad, at least offensively, as it was. Though there are struggles with the offensive line and the defensive line, it should have been a lot better. So what I'm hoping to see specifically is DeAndre Swift get 1,000 yards rushing. Probably finding a running back next to him. And it could be that DeAndre Swift becomes the number two. But I need to see at least 1,500 yards total from that rushing game. And that's bare minimum.
Yeah, we're talking exactly. That's not a lot.
I mean, DeAndre Swift had freaking 800, 900 yards this year. I need to see a lot more. You know what I'm saying? I need to see that DeAndre Swift can get himself to that 1,000-yard bear. Because, again, you got 17 games this year. You got 17 games going forward. That 1,000 yards is not a tough one to bear. To make. He had 959 yards this year, and he only rushed it about 253 times. He had 3 yards, 3.8 yards per carry. I need to see him get to that. Roshan Johnson, as his compliment, put up about 150 yards, nothing crazy. So I need to see that either you're going to get DeAndre Swift to that 1,200, 1,300-yard mark, or you're going to see Roshan or whoever comes after him. I know a lot of people are looking at Travion Henderson from Ohio State, from the Ohio State University. Maybe he's someone he comes in because he'll be a later round pick. Seeing how that meshes together and seeing if you can get to the bare minimum of 1,500 yards. After that, I want to see Cole Kmet be very specific and become the red zone threat that I know he is. He's not a person who's going to get you yak, which, again, might be a concern if you're looking for that because the tight ends and Ben Johnson, since Sam Laporta, they're yak. They can get yak very good. So maybe also seeing what Gerald Everett can do. DJ Moore, I need him back to 1,000 yards. Need him back to 1,000 yards very
well,
easily.
At least we know he's not going to use him like he's a running back.
Right. I need to see him get 1,000 yards. I want to see Keenan Allen become a red zone threat. I want to see Roman DJ get 1,000. That's a solid bare minimum for me. I don't know.
What I know Roman finished for like 800, something like that. 750, right. 800. Yeah.
Right. I know.
And DJ had 1,000, didn't he? Or was he just short?
He was just short of 1,000.
Okay.
And so I need to see that happen. But I need to see 2,000-yard receivers. DJ Moore finished with 966. Very close, but he finished with 966. I need to see 2,000-yard receivers. It might sound like it's a lot, but in reality, it ain't. It's actually a very solid amount if you have a decent quarterback. And looking at receiving, they got 1,000 yards from Amon-Ra. So, yeah, 2,000-yard receiver. Amon-Ra got 1,200. Jameson Williams got 1,000. And then Sam Laporta got 700. And then Jahmyr Gibbs got 500. And then their third wide receiver got 400. That's a good start. That's a good start. Jared Goff finishes with about 4,600 passing yards. I want to see Caleb gets 4,000 passing yards. He got to 3,000 with a lot of games where he barely threw. I want to see Rome and DJ get 1,000 yards. Keenan get himself 600-700 yards. Good much amount of touchdowns. Maybe if he goes less and he gets 500 and you boost up Cole Kmet. I want to see that happen. But I want to see that ball being spread, and I want to see it come out quick. And I want to see them utilizing the tough runs, the smart plays. Because in the end, football is a game of who's going to tweak less. In the regular season,
we saw that all weekend.
We saw that all weekend. It's a game about who's going to tweak out the least. In the regular season, you give yourself a little bit of room. You know, things don't work here, things don't work there. Sometimes you get a little luck, but in the postseason, that luck starts to go and it starts to see who's going to call the smarter plays. The Chiefs win because the Chiefs don't tweak off as much, and that's what it's going to come down to.
Shane, you put up a good point. I really want to know how the national media is going to react to this. Is Ben Johnson not going to be the chosen one anymore because he picked the Bears? You know how they like to do it. You know how they like to do that Bears tax. Yeah, but everybody loves Caleb a year ago. Now it's, the Bears made the wrong decision. That I'm interested to see 100%, man. But I also, want to talk about, too, when it comes to Ben Johnson's. Like, there's big culture issues this year. Big culture issues in the locker room. It was terrible to the point where some people even comparing it to 2014, which, in my opinion, is still the worst season in Bears history as far as like off the field drama. That team win wise was still better than this team, but off the field drama, it was ridiculous. I think that's gonna be something too that we gotta watch, because it's more than just calling plays now. Are you going to be able to get a culture, get a locker room, and change it compared to what it's been these last couple of years? Not just this year, really, since the end of the 2019 season, I guess. I think 2019 season. 2018, Nagy's first year, that was 100% of culture. And you know what I'm saying? You can say what you want about Nagy, but that those players love Matt Nagy. Can you give the same thing here? He's the first-time head coach. That's going to be something I'm going to be looking at, because we don't need to be able to come in here and just have, oh, they're putting up points, but what the locker room's like. That's a very, very important thing right there, and it's going to go into a staff. And that's like we said, Dennis Allen can help the leader of men. You know why I like Dennis Allen as defensive coordinator? Because he's part of defenses that like to take niggas' heads off. We need to go back to that old school defense, and that's why you also need to get right in the defensive trenches as well. And so I'm really focusing now that we got him. What's the staff going to look like? And what's he going to do culture-wise to be able to fix this? Because now it's like, okay, all the hype is whatever, whatever. But now we're going to see if he's really going to be that, or he's just a dope play caller. Can he be what Sean McVay is? Can he be what Kyle Shanahan is? A lot of people didn't think that Matt LaFleur was a leader. You see that? He got the fire in him as well. He's a good leader out there as well. So can he be more than just a play caller? And Alex, good stat right here. Dennis Allen's had a top five defense every year since 2018. So, yeah, and of course, he's going to know if he is the final pick, he's in the running, what kind of defensive guys they want to get. What do you think that he can bring, or what are you looking for him to bring culture-wise with this team?
Cohesion. Cohesion, smartness, if I'm using that correctly. And just an attitude of how can I do things the most efficiently? You know, the thing that I like about that I liked about the Lions is it wasn't just all passing. Even though Jared Goff passed for 4,000 yards, it wasn't all passing. It was how can I get down the field in a smart enough way that we're going to do it efficiently, we're going to do it in a smart and contained manner, and we're not going to tweak off. And that is the biggest thing I want to see him do. Sometimes with penalties, it does come on to being prepared, being disciplined, making sure you have all the things squared away. But more than that, I think it's the right people. If you come into the game focused on the game, you'll perform better. If you come into the game and you prepare yourself, you'll perform better. And bring on the coach music, because my entire time in high school football, it was 3 years, I only got a false start twice. And they were back-to-back false starts. And what happened is I wasn't focused on the game. I was thinking about something else. It was probably, if I remember correctly, it was a girl. And I wasn't focused on the game. And I gave that up. And then when I came to my senior year, I put everything into that. I focused on the game. And I never got that again. And I only gave up like 2 sacks my entire high school career. So stat for y'all out there. But that's what it comes down to. So more so, how can the coaches make them disciplined? Is how can you bring in people who want to respond to that and who want to be disciplined, who want to do the correct and the tough things? That's the best things there. And that will start with the staff you bring in. The staff are going to keep everybody accountable, but also open up everything and be communicable. I don't know if that's even a word, but communicate well. And too often I've heard with the Bears locker room and people that I know around the Bears that Eberflus didn't just do that. He make a nice speech and he called it a day. He was awkward and personable. And I knew that the moment they hired him, when I had a one-on-one, well, I say one-on-one, it was like 104. We were all sitting in a round table and we were just talking. And I was like, hey, man. He mentioned he was an Orthodox Christian. Orthodox Christianity is very, it's like Armenian, Russian, very gaudy.
Orlando called you CPS Orlando Pace by the ass.
Orla, where'd you play it? Where'd you play it, brother?
Zion Andolini.
Zion Andolini. But when I asked him about Orthodox Christianity, he just talked about church service and everything. And I was like, man, I've always wanted to go to an Orthodox church. And he's like, yeah, it's great. And he moved on. And I was like, okay. I'm like, what's the personal attitude? And I noticed every conversation was just small. It was short. It wasn't personable. Not being said, that's not always required for a coach. But when you're a 24, 25, 26-year-old player, you need a coach that's going to interact with you, that's going to have some sort of camaraderie. And he didn't. Again, shout out to Sote. I'm not sure if not being awkward is a requirement, but for
Orlando's
the Bears,
probably played in Lakeview.
Yeah, don't talk to the two-time city champ, Kerry Condors, but I don't want to hear it. But being Percival, I think, is almost a requirement for the Chicago Bears. Based on my time there, based on my 5 years covering them, you need to be able to resonate it, because there are media members for the Jalisco Jaguars. There are media members like my man Jason Leisure that are going to grill you. Like my man Dan Weeder that want answers. You have to be willing to deal with them. Oh, shout out to the Condors. I'm throwing up Crip, but it's just a C for Condors. They know Crips in Chicago. But you got to have that personality. And it's not even a big personality. It's just a willing to talk. And so now that we have him, unfortunately, I have to go back to something I said I would never do. I want to see him win the press conference. It's a small thing, and it's not important, but I need to hear it.
I don't think I've ever heard him talk.
I have. I've looked directly on Lion's YouTube page to hear from him. But I need to see him win the press conference. I need to hear that. I need to hear confidence in Bunk Suit when he gets up on there. I need to hear confidence in Ryan Poles. I need to hear all of that. So, yeah, man, good things ahead.
Yeah, I would assume, we haven't got the email yet, but that the press conference will probably, if I had to guess, probably Thursday or Friday, if I had to guess. I will be there in attendance 100%. You can bet that I will be there.
I'm wondering if I will take off from work. I know a few of my students' parents follow me on IG because of quite a few of them like football, and I wonder if they're seeing the trend that their child's teacher won't be there this week.
You got a holiday today, and y'all all tomorrow for the weather. They're gonna tell your beanhead ass come to work.
I know. If y'all didn't have
tomorrow off, you could probably swing it.
If we didn't have tomorrow off, I could swing this. But if I take a day off, I have taught 2 days this week. I don't know if it's gonna work, but this is like Caleb Williams was a big press conference. This is right next to it, his importance.
Caleb
and I want to be there.
Like,
and Caleb, I wasn't there for the Caleb one. You were.
Caleb Aron's press conference felt like a president was being inaugurated. Like, and by the way, I was half dead when I was there. That's when I was sick at the time.
Right.
And that's what I had tonsillitis, and I thought I was over it. And the Bears, I think the Bears got us like, it was some type of Mexican food. I don't know who it was. My stupid ass said I could eat some salsa. Boy, I was in pain. When I had that food, I was in pain. But I think this is going to be like that. I always know when it's a big hiring, when there's other media outside of local media or more Chicago media who don't ever be there. So I'm going to be there an hour and a half early, whenever it is. But let's talk about the ramifications of the Bears-Lions rivalry, which is become one on Twitter. People say, oh, y'all going to hire Eddie George. Ha ha. Lions fans are real down bad this weekend. Real bad that they lost to the Commanders. They lost both the offensive coordinators and lost one of them to their division rival.
Something else is happening too, Scott.
What's that?
What's happening today, later today?
Oh, Ohio State.
A good chunk of Lion fans, they're going to be Michigan fans.
But for
you got some outliers who are going to root for Michigan
State.
For your
sake, I hope Notre Dame don't win.
Here's the thing. The Buckeyes can never hurt me too much because I've seen two titles. I've seen us lose in the Natty. I've seen Alabama absolutely thrash us. So if they lose, I'm going to be absolutely heartbroken, but I'll move on. But I don't think we'll lose. But anyway, it's a rough day for Lions fans because it's a good chunk of those who are Michigan fans, and they got to watch Ohio State. And they can say, oh, we beat y'all. I'm like, yeah, but we're going to win a Natty. So you're not. Anyway.
I think this is a brutal blow. This is a brutal blow. You said worst thing having the choice is the auto collapse. All right, man. this is the worst thing happened since Eminem dropped Relapse. Like this is the worst thing to happen since I don't know, nigga. Yes, since that happened. It's a lot of bad things. I would not want to be a Detroit Lions fan this week. Y'all going through it right now, losing to Alter Boys is hilarious. We're just gonna have Joe and Orlando go at it about Chicago football. But yeah, man, I think this is a blow for them. And shout out my man JR Bang. Bang said this repeatedly on I'm Not Gonna Hold You. Not only do you get better, but you make them worse. And he knows how to beat them. He knows what makes that offense go. You know what I'm saying? That's all that is. And so that's gonna be exciting to see. And also shout out our man B Float in the chat. Shout out to the homies at the 108. Shout out to all y'all. But he said, worst thing to happen in 313 since Clarence got smoked. Worst thing happened to Troy since Kid Rock being born.
Hilarious.
Worst thing happened since Obi Trice's second album that nobody remembers.
It wasn't a bad album.
It was terrible. You remember that single? I just want you in my arms, Obi. That single, that song was terrible.
That song, I go against that. I come against that.
You don't follow Cheers Up with Round Two. That was the name of that crappy album.
Was Cheers a classic? Let's talk about it. Anyway.
Cheers is fire. Cheers, I don't know if it was a classic, but it was fire. So this is the worst thing that happened since Big Meech got arrested in Detroit. Like this is a lot of things going on. But yeah, what do you think about this rivalry wise? What do you think it does for them?
Oh, this ratchets everything up to the next level. And I got quite a few Lions fans, Central on Twitter, Depressed DT, I forgot his full name on Twitter, and they're like they feel it. But then the next tweet was like, it's gonna be a war. It's going to be a Royal Rumble in with the Bears and Lions with everybody else in the NFC. Everybody going like 9 wins max because the whole division is going to be good. But I think for the Bears and the Bears have typically outclassed Detroit for much of the history. This was the first year that they swept us in quite some time. They swept the Bears in quite some time. And now this is a chance for the Bears to get their lick back. But now is the time for a division that has, at least for the past couple of decades, has been characterized by this team versus the Packers. Lions, Packers, Vikings, Packers, Bears, Packers. The Packers were that enemy. But now, folks kind of smacking the Packers up out of here. Folks kind of saying, get up out of here. You know what I'm saying? Them's the old days. Get up out of here, little nigga. That type of thing to the Packers.
You know,
those individual rivalries. Go ahead.
You know Lions fans a couple when they said that now we're going to figure out this was Dan Campbell's offense. Really? Really?
What are we doing here, bro? We know it was Ben Johnson's offense. Come on. We don't have to do this. We don't have to lie to ourselves. It's Ben Johnson's offense. I get it, though. You cope because if the Bears had an outstanding offensive coordinator, and let's say, the Bears had an offensive coach and they had an offensive coordinator. The coordinator was great. I said, I was actually the head coach's office. I would have that urge, too. But in reality, we know what it is. We know it was Ben Johnson's offense. He's calling the plays. Come on now. It's cool. You all had your success, and I still think you have the talent, the infrastructure. Hopefully, whoever was under Ben Johnson was watching and following around so you can build the next offense up. I think you'll be just fine. But, yeah, man, now it's a slobber knocker. The good thing for them, though, is they know Ben Johnson. They know his playbook. But then on the flip side of it, we know what you're going to do as well because more than likely the offense is going to be a retool or a rebrand of what he made. So, yeah, man, the rivalry kicks up a notch. You know, I no longer have to look at it like, here we go play unstoppable Lions. Now it's like, oh, okay, what can the Bears do to prove that they've taken the next step? And also there's implications on stats and what I want to see from Caleb. And I'm ready for 27-plus touchdowns. I'm ready for 4,000 yards. It's turn-up time. That's the best way to describe it. It's turn-up time. Reminds me of, was it Jingle All the Way? Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's turbo time. That's how I feel. I want everything to ratchet up to the next level.
Well, in the words of Stringer Bell, I want you to put out the word. We back up.
Facts.
We back up. You talk about expectations, realistic expectations. Like I said, I'm not doing a win-loss expectation.
Right.
We don't know the order of the schedule yet. We know what teams they'll be playing. But I'm done doing the schedule thing with the picks. But I will say my realistic expectations, like you said, for Caleb, 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, keep the turnovers low. But even more than just the numbers, better deep ball, better footwork, better using his legs when the defense allows him to use his legs, and just be a better holding on to the ball less sacks. I feel like those things are going to be something that we're going to have to look at as well for him. But those are my realistic expectations. I need this to be – I don't know if I'm putting too much dip in my chip. I need this to be, at the very least, a top 12 offense in the NFL next year.
Yeah.
Even if it's 11 or 12.
I think that's fair.
I don't want to go and be like, oh, it's got to be 5. Like, no, it's some good offenses out here. But it's got to be 12. Now, I'm saying all that. They still got a Ryan Pohl. Still need to go out there, get the right personnel to add in the draft and in free agency. Do not be cheap in free agency. You feel me? Go out there and get your guys offensively and defensively. And now let's fill out this staff. What do you think? What? But here's a question too. What do you think this says about the division in general? Because I think what we've seen in these playoffs and towards the end of this season, this division isn't as daunting as a lot of people thought. It's still a great division. Right. But let me land a plane real quick. With the Packers, Jordan Love is who he is. He is who he is. He's a gunslinger. Yes, he can win games for you. He can also lose games for you. So you got that. We don't know who's going to be the quarterback in Minnesota next year. We don't know if they're going to pay Sam Darnold. We know if they're going to franchise Sam Darnold. We don't know if they're going to go at J.J. McCarthy. But even if they keep Sam Darnold, I think we've all saw he's still Sam Darnold. I think that's very evident these last couple weeks. He's better than he was. I give him credit. He's not a bad quarterback anymore. But he still has some things that get you. And Jared Goff, like I've said since day one, and I'm so glad that people saw it, he's the same nigga deep down inside of him. That bozo gene is still there. It's not like with Matthew Stafford's there. Yeah, Matthew Stafford got a bozo gene every now and then. In fact, he had a bozo gene at the end of that game yesterday. I don't know what the hell that fourth down throw was. I'll give him a pass because it was snowing outside. But Jared Goff, he's just not that good. And now you're taking away the guy who made him get even as good as he is right now. I think it's very much up for grabs. I'm not, like I said, I'm not picking wins. I'm not saying the Bears are going to win the division, make the playoffs, whatever. But I very much think this division is up for grabs. If this is if Ryan Poles adds the right personnel to the good stuff he already has right here.
You know what? Here is my, you know, just my general take on everything, the way it should go. I'm not sure if I would say the Bears should be 11 or 12. I mean, they're coming off. They were dead last in yards.
That's why I said, am I putting too much dip in my chip? Maybe 15. Right.
They were dead last in yards. I mean, that's 32. Realistically, I want them to be 15 or better. That's like, that's a huge game. That's 15 spots up. In terms of like total offense, I think they're around 25. So you're going from 15 to 10 spots up. I want you to do just a large jump. Next, I want to see Caleb take less sacks, work on that D-bar accuracy, because I think most of his D-bar accuracy comes from the fact that he needs to be calmer and he needs to set up and he needs to throw. He needs to have the confidence of what he's doing, because we saw him at Oklahoma and USC make the deep pass all the time. It was a highlight of what he could do. He has the arm strength. So adding that to the repertoire, I need to see that. I need to see 3,800 yards passing. I know Scott didn't want to give specifics. I need to see 3,800 yards passing. I need to see 25-plus touchdowns. I need to see him be calmer in that pocket. And then going on to the expectations of Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson, I want to see you get him a great blindside tackle that's going to give him some confidence and not have to worry about who's coming from that side. I need you to see him to get him a center who does not get pushed 20 feet into the backfield after the ball is snapped, who communicates with him well, and get them able to handle the blitzes, handle the stunts, and then communicate. And in terms of passing, I want to see you work on the basic concept of football. They're sitting in too high, let's run smash all day. If they're pressing your linebackers up, they're going to stack the box. I want to see Caleb look back and say, you know what? Changes at the line. They're going to send the whole box. I'm going to get off on a quick snap. I'm going to get the ball out of here. I want to see all of that utilized. I want to see plays at the line of scrimmage, but I don't want to see too many horizontal plays. I want to see the ball be pushed upfield. You mix in the horizontal when it makes sense. And so, for instance, you'll see Jared Goff throw a nice intermediate 15-yard pass. Most people now would expect a run. Nope, I'm throwing horizontal to J-Mo. He's going to take it. That's what I want to see. I want to see it make sense. And you get those basics down, Pat, I think this is a good enough team where they should be able to get themselves into the playoffs. And my only expectation is, no matter what it takes, you won 7 the year before, you won 5 this year, you should be within that 9-10 win range. And hopefully that should get you in the playoffs. That's my expectation.
Let's talk about the broader, you know, context of when it comes to the other hirings in the NFL. Because I told you, we were talking about this all day. I said, this kind of reminds me of the coaching version of trying to get LeBron. Because it's like, once this domino falls, everything else is going to fall. Now we wait to see where Aaron Klein goes. He's the number two, target out there. Where's Mike McCarthy going to go now? Where all these other guys, Todd Monken, what do you think this does? Where do you think it fits in the coaching carousel compared to other potential hires across the league in different situations?
Well, right now, I think Ty Monken kind of jumps up into that like second spot of a person you want to get. Aaron Glenn is probably third around that list, but now teams are going to be in a frenzy. This is the same as when you have a free agent signing. Once you have that large free agent go off the board, it's a scramble because every team had the bulk of their resources focused on that one guy. And one guy then picks and chooses where he wants to go. And then from there, it's like, oh, shit, who am I getting? What are we getting? Let's get this guy. The good teams are going to have, you know, not all their eggs in one basket. They're going to have multiple places they're going to look and place themselves. And now that that happens, I think Ty Monken becomes a hot commodity because he took Lamar Jackson, who Scott's most hated quarterback, and turns him
Timeout. I do not hate Lamar Jackson. In fact, I apologized 2 months ago about my text to him, but I just said last night, we got to stop acting like turnovers early in the game don't impact. So let's relax. Well, go ahead.
Right. So my thought is now, you know, but the fact that he took Lamar Jackson to have one of his – I'm going to say one of his. He had the greatest year of his entire career. Yeah. I think his first MVP year, he threw for like 3,800 yards passing or like 3,200 yards passing, 35-something touchdowns, like five interceptions. This year, he throws for 4,000, first time in his career, 40-plus touchdowns, four interceptions. He rushed for like 800. Like, he played out of his mind. And then I think it was Ty Monken's ability to allow Lamar to be him, but also encourage him to run. That being said, they did get away from Derrick Henry the other day with their game plan. But all that being said, Ty Monken gets boosted to number one. Aaron Glenn is either three or four within that. I mean, two, three, or four within that list. And now it's literally scramble time for a lot of teams. I'm just glad the Bears don't have to scramble. Also, Mike McCarthy probably fits in that list unless he doesn't want to coach.
Shout out our boy Duke. He said, well, y'all can get McCarthy. Y'all niggas just interview Leslie Frazier. Enjoy. Oh, man, it feels good to be on the other side for once.
Right.
It feels good to be on. What did they say? Oh, brah! Anyway, I'm with you, though. I think Ty Monken goes up. I still think Aaron Glenn is probably is right up there. I think Aaron Glenn actually is the next person to get the job. Sounds like he's going to the Jets. They're going to be lining him up. With that new GM, he comes from the Lions background, which I understand the Lions have been better recently, but also he's been with the Lions 26 years. So I don't know if that's a confident background right there. You know what I'm saying? That I would want just because he's been with the Lions recently. And that is their he's former Lions executive, but he's the current Commanders system GM, Lance Newmark. He's having a second interview, and so is Aaron Glenn. Worked together in Detroit, so I'm guessing that's the relationship right there. I think he's going to go there. And I think Big Mike McCarthy is going to land in New Orleans. They were the two names, Adam Schefter named today, about for possibility for the Bears and the Saints. He was offensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints 21 years ago.
Speaking of New Orleans, we're going to have news, so stay tuned for that. That's all I'm going to say.
But, I think he lands there. And I think Ty Monken, who else is available? I think he go to Jaguars because they're still trying to get anything out of Trevor Lawrence. I think he's cooked. I think he is what he is. I think he's just a mediocre quarterback. When you're fifth season, you usually are who you are. But if that last ditch effort, you're going to want a guy who's already won two MVPs and gave him his best statistical season. I can see Ty Monken landing. I don't know where the Raiders go. Hope you niggas know how to speak Pete Carroll. That's all I got. Hope you niggas know how to speak Pete Carroll. Because it's just so funny. There's two things. It just smelled like agent talk. And I got to give a shout out to Jocelyn Anderson again, because she tweeted also a week ago. She said, pay attention to the way that these interviews with Ben Johnson laid out. He said, if you want to be with a team and you want them to pay you, you're going to send out motion that you're going somewhere else. That's why I've never bought the Raiders talk. Everybody kept saying Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady owns 5% more of that team than I do. Like, it's not a major thing, number one. Number two, Tom Brady's not playing quarterback. And I forgot who said it in the chat like 20 minutes ago, but they were spot on. I could see if they had a top three pick.
Right.
And they had a chance to draft Shadur or Cam Moore. That makes more sense.
Right.
Y'all at pick seven. And there's four QB needy teams. Shador and Cam are not getting past pick three.
Right.
Who's got no one? Tennessee needs a quarterback. Freaky Sean torn his towards Achilles again. So the Browns need a quarterback. And then if you're who's the third pick? The Giants. The Giants need a quarterback. So I never saw him falling that low to begin with. And shout out my boy Mikey. Oh, I'm not gonna hold you. We definitely gonna talk about this on Friday because I love being right. When he kept trying to sell me a long-term plan. I'm like, brother, this is the NFL. You don't get 6 years. This ain't the NBA with no quarterback. He's fired by year three. And right. And this is the last thing that annoyed the shit out of me. Everybody kept saying how bad the Bears front office situation was. And very true. But what I got tired of was people acting like the Raiders was a better one. If you have a coach hiring right now, you obviously not in a good situation. The Raiders are still paying John Gruden. They have to pay Antonio Pierce. And I think they got to pay Rich Bisaccia, the interim coach that they brought in. And on top of that, they still got to pay their last two GMs. That's not a shit show. Like, what are we doing here? That's right. Why I just never bought it to begin with, man. So my closing arguments on my closing debate on this, my closing thoughts, I'm ecstatic. I can't go back to read all the tweets. See what Bears Twitter's talking about. My phone been blowing up. But I'm ecstatic. Job's not finished, in the words of Kobe. This is just the beginning of a lot of stuff they got to do. Now we focus on free agency. Now we start crunching film for the draft. And me and Joe are going to have a lot of draft podcasts to think about who should we take. Bears got 10 picks. They got a tie. They got a number 10 pick in the first round. They have 2 second-rounders. Theirs and Carolina high second-round picks. They've got to get this right. They've got to get the trenches right on both sides. So I'm excited. I'm going to enjoy the rest of this night. Watch the national championship. I don't care who wins. I'm going to enjoy that we've got a head coach, and I'm going to enjoy that the Bears actually did something smart for the second year in a row. They didn't overthink the quarterback, and they didn't overthink the coach. Now, don't overthink the rest of the roster.
So my entire opening thing, because right now I'm very excited, but at the same time, also mixed with anxiety for the national championship. So I won't have all of my thoughts. But the most important thing I can think right now is you got the right guy. Now he needs to get the other right guy. He needs to make sure he get his coordinator picks correct. He needs a coordinator who's going to work well with him and understand the ins and outs of the game, understand how to use his talent. He's going to have to also make hard decisions. Maybe you trade off a few picks. You know, maybe Cole Kmet isn't your guy. Again, this is not saying no Cole Kmet, but maybe you think, we're going to get somebody better in the draft. You have to be willing to make those decisions. Unfortunately, I think Chicago sports ends up being too much of this is our guy. We want to keep our guy. You got to be willing to get rid of those who you think are going to be, who are the greatest fit and who will be a better fit going forward. So he needs to make sure he puts the people around him who knows what they're doing, who are the most qualified for it. Then he needs to also make sure that he's willing to move on from people who are not fitting those schemes well. And then after that, it's time for management. Not only are you the head, you're not only the play caller now, you are now the head executive of the football side of things. You are the person who are going to control what happens on that field. And so with that, that comes relationships. He needs to be willing to build relationships with the players around him, make himself accessible. Don't just have coach speech. Be willing to talk to these people. Be willing to enforce these things. You know, when Flus came here, he talked about the HITS principle. I don't care about all that, bro. I don't care about the words and the acronyms that you have. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with it? And so now it comes to no more talking. It's time to go. It's time to get down to brass tacks. It's time to get things going. And I'm going to enjoy this feeling. I'm happy. I'm ecstatic. I'm going to, at least for the next hour or so, be feeling real good before the national championship game comes on. And I'm a nervous wreck. I'm already a nervous wreck, worried about it. Hopefully, the Buckeyes seal it. Hopefully, Scott texts me. Like, when we went up like 14 on Texas, Scott sent me a thank you, Texas fans. Thank you, fans. Like, Texas background. I start crying, laughing. Hopefully, I can get that same text. Thank you, Notre Dame fans. And I can relax. But right now, I'm going to be excited. I'm happy. I think in the coming weeks, I'll have a little bit more takes. I'm sorry, Mariana. You know what it is. It's Ohio State. But it's a good day. Bears fans enjoy it once the season ends, because I'm not going to really focus too much on what's really happening until everything is set up. But once the postseason ends, once we find out who's our champion, then it's time, it's wheels up. Now it's in motion. For the coaches, it's already wheels up. For the fans, yeah. For the media, We'll have a few speculations, but things are not going to get into motion until the Super Bowl ends. And so right now, man, just enjoy it. Enjoy what it feels like to get it done. And unfortunately for Notre Dame fans, the Buckeyes are winning by 2 touchdowns.
And just also, like you said, the NFL season is like the NBA. NFL offseason is like the NBA offseason now. Like, there's no break. So when the Super Bowl is over, the combine is 2.5 weeks after. So you got the combine, free agency is 2 weeks after the combine. And this thing's going to pick up quick, man. So we're going to have a lot more offseason pods than we did. And shout out to y'all, man. 3,700 of y'all in the chat.
That was nuts.
Yeah, that was nuts. But 3,700 of y'all in the chat. You said, I'm glad they did this on Monday. So I can, exactly. You can enjoy the rest of the week. Shout out once again, B-Flow. Shout out all our homies at the 108. We definitely got to come back on the show so we can have a positive talk about the Bears. I will be back on Friday. There was no I'm Not Going to Hold You Day, Dr. King Day. There's a lot of games going on, and there's going to be attention everywhere. But we'll be breaking this down on Friday on I'm Not Going to Hold You in deeper details where you'll get everybody else's opinion on that. Might have a guest or two coming. Then we're going to preview Championship Sunday. We only got 2 more weeks of actual football, which is – the playoffs are always bittersweet because they're sweet because I love watching playoff football, but bitter because I'm going to have to be a full NBA watcher in about 3 weeks, and that upsets me. But anyway, man, anything you want to say else when we wrap this up?
No, nah, man, I'm ready to be a nervous wreck about the Buckeyes, so let's get it going.
All right, man. Holla at y'all. And this will be, if you missed the stream, I'm going to upload this to the free feed. Usually goes on Patreon first. But since I'm feeling festive today, we're going to put it on the free feed for everybody. And the video is on the YouTube right now if you missed it. So it's episode 265. The next episode we do will be a recap of the press conference. So probably end of this week, early next week, that'll be press conference. So we'll do an episode after that, man. So we up out of here, man. Y'all enjoy the rest of y'all house.
This is Bobby Yeagum, Curtis Dennis. Know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. The trusted source for the news. 7 nights at Hallis, what it is, what it do. This is Bobby Yeagum, Curtis Dennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7 nights at Hallis in your ears. You. This is Bobby Yeagum, Curtis Dennis.